Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The death penalty case of Gary Lee Sampson is winding down in federal court in Boston. Closing arguments are set for tomorrow on whether the court will uphold Sampson's 2003 death sentence. Sampson's conviction for carjacking and murder will stand for the murders of three people in 2001, but defense attorneys are arguing for a life in prison sentence instead. WBUR senior reporter David Boyer has been covering this trial. We reached him just after today's hearing and started by asking what happened in court today.
Today was largely had to do with fine points. It's in the weeds of procedures for tomorrow. The closing arguments will take about 5 hours from both sides combined. The one thing that was discussed today that's of great interest is the number of mitigating factors the defense is going to be allowed to present to the jury for Gary Lee Sampson. At the end of the day, the defense will be allowed to present 115 mitigating factors. Mitigating factors are those considerations that either bring some understanding to the defendant's behavior, but they're really a call for mercy from the jurors.
And David, this number of more than 100 mitigating factors is highly unusual. Is that right?
It is. It's close to off the charts. But typically in federal death penalty trials, you have anywhere between 10 to 20 or 30 mitigating factors that are offered. In the case of Zahar Tsarnaev, they presented jurors with 21 mitigating factors. Sampson, in his first trial, presented 19 mitigating factors. That's in the norm of things. But by the way, this is important to note that Michael Burke, who is a leading defense attorney across the country in death penalty cases, this is his formula, to present jurors with huge lists of mitigating factors in hopes of finding anything, one juror out of the whole lot, that will find something in that long list to say, I want to show mercy for Gary Sampson.
And do we know, David, what this high number of mitigating factors might do to jury deliberations? I mean, logically, you would think that it makes them much longer and drawn out and lots of instructions from the judge. Is that what typically happens?
Well, they have to go through this list. Now, they can pass. They don't have to reach consensus. They don't have to vote on each one. They can decide, oh, we're not going to settle this. We're going to move on. That happened in Tsarnaev. But when you have 115 mitigating factors, they, along with the aggravating factors that are presented by the prosecution, have to be on the verdict slip. So there they are. And that's going to be a huge verdict slip for the jury to go through. Now, the question is, you suggest, and then there is some possibility, the jurors become angry about all the choices, all the duties they're facing in the course of this thing. It's a remarkable number of decisions for the jurors to have to make.
What evidence, David, is new in this trial compared to Sampson's first trial?
Good question. The prosecution case is pretty much the same as it was in 2003, with one exception. The prosecution in this trial, in this sentencing trial, has a whole body of evidence of Gary Lee Sampson's behavior while a prisoner, while an inmate in federal prisons and at death row in Terre Haute, Indiana. And that record is important because it's corroborating one of their aggravating factors, which is Gary Lee Sampson is a future threat, that he's dangerous, that they have these attacks he's made on guards, on other officers, statements he's made bragging in prison about the killings that he committed, lots of threats and angry threats, and even video of him attacking one prison guard with a sharpened broom handle. They showed the jurors. So that's on the prosecution side, which is new. Because there's a second trial here that was ordered by the judge, the defense has had a chance to use a new defense. So no longer are they looking at antisocial behavior, mental illness that the first defense presented. Now they're arguing traumatic brain injury, a history of brain injuries, a problem with the executive function that's in the front of the cortex, which involves impulse control. They have presented a long list, as we've been talking about, of mitigating factors here to explain or to ask mercy for his behavior and conduct.
WBUR's senior reporter, David Boweri, who's been covering the Gary Lee Sampson trial. David, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Deb.